Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 8, and it can be found on page 1007 in the Church Bibles. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place when he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, was born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerous grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back.
I'd just like to open our message, our sermon, by reading a few words from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. And I haven't fully planned this series that's going to take us up to the summer. You may be shocked to hear. But I think part of our focus is going to be, as we look at the people that have gone before us, this idea that we should look to them with endurance. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 to 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder or author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." So as we think about Abraham, as we think about Isaac, Jacob, Esau, maybe even Joseph, depending on where we get to, we can look back at their lives and think, how do they help us run the race that we're called to with endurance? How do their lives, knowing what they did, help us throw off everything that traps us down, the sin that entangles us, and run with endurance? But we can also ask the question of, how do they point us to Christ, the perfect example for us to follow, the founder and perfecter of our faith? So this morning, as we think briefly about Abraham, we can ask ourselves questions. How does he help us? How does he point us to Christ? I mentioned with the children that Abraham made mistakes. Abraham wasn't perfect. And yet in the reading that Jan read to us, no mention is made of them. All that the author of this great letter spoke of was his faithfulness. And I wonder if even that speaks to us. If we look at our past week, our past month, our year, our lives, do we recognize that from time to time we make mistakes? We don't run the race perfectly. There have been moments in all of our lives when we don't trust God as fully as we should. And yet look at Abraham, and he was still counted as righteous despite his problems. We should seek to live in a way that is pleasing to God, don't get me wrong. But we will slip up. And that doesn't mean we need to write ourselves off, believe that we just cannot now be good enough for God, because ultimately none of us can be. It's only by the blood of Christ that we are made righteous. So we can look at his mistakes and take comfort from them. But probably what we should really do is look to his triumphs that were enabled by the grace of God and see how we can seek to emulate him as we run the race that is set before us. If you were part of the church here 3 and a bit years ago, you may remember, and I'll forgive you if you don't, that a few of us preached through the life of Abraham. I wasn't the pastor here, but I was privileged to be a part of that series with some others. Most of it was on Zoom. I think it would have been about 3 years ago. I'm not going to go back through the entire life of Abraham in a 10-sermon series, but I thought one talk, one message would be useful to remind us. Hebrews chapter 11 gives us 12 verses that sum up the triumphs of Abraham. So let's have a look and see what he did that we might be able to emulate. First of all, he went. First of all, Abraham was prepared to go. Possibly not as quickly as maybe he should have done. We don't know exactly the timings that God had laid out for him. But we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place that he was to receive his inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise." I remember when I was teaching, and if it was an assembly day, I would say to my form in the morning, "Hurry up, we need to do the register, we've got assembly." The first question would be, "Where's the assembly?" The second question was, "What's it going to be on?" The third question was inevitably, "Do we really have to go?" The answer to the first two was, "I don't know," and the third one was, "Yes." Most people like to know where they're going and what they're going to experience. I was talking to someone this week who's going on holiday, and they seem to have every moment of the week planned. Some of us are less so. But generally, we like to know something about where we're going. Abraham was born in the land of Ur. He moved with his family to Haran, both pagan places. Abraham was born into a pagan family, probably a moon-worshipping family. And yet he was called to leave his people, his home, his family behind. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, I'm not going to turn to it, but I've got it here. We read, "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country and from your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you.'" Abraham was called to go by God, clearly spoken to, and he went. He went eventually to Canaan. He didn't know where he was going, and he didn't know what to expect. He left the comfort and security of his home and his family behind to go to a hostile country. A country where they had to live in tents as foreigners. A country where they received great hostility at times, suspicion at others. And yet he still went. And I think we can all see quite clearly where the challenge is to us. Are we prepared to obey the call to go, wherever that may be? Are we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, prepared to heed the call to go wherever that may be? Firstly, that call may be to stay where we are. And that may seem like a strange call. But some people desperately want to move. Whether that's location, whether that's church, whether that's job. Some people don't like Suffolk, which shocks me. But sometimes we're called to stay where we are, to continue to serve in the church that we've been in for 20 years and we'll serve in for another 40. And that's okay. That's good if that's what we feel called to do. Sometimes that can be just as difficult as going to the ends of the earth. But it may be that some of us are feeling a call to go elsewhere. It may be in our workplace. We're called to do something different, where we can be a better witness, where we can have more time to serve God in the church. It may be like Simon and Jane, that we're called to a different nation, a place where they don't speak the language that we're used to, a place that might be fraught with danger. It may be that we feel called to serve in France or Romania or North Korea. It may be somewhere in this country. Where and when we are called shouldn't matter. What matters is that it is God who leads us. And if we feel convicted that we are in the wrong place and we should be serving elsewhere, then maybe we should prepare ourselves to go. And I don't mean that next week I want to be in church with five people because everyone has suddenly booked tickets to Magaluf because that's where they want to go and serve God. These things should be taken seriously. We should pray. We should speak to those that know us best if it seems like a wise thing. For some people, there may be a great conviction that they just cannot escape from. Some people may be led haphazardly through life into various places. I never expected 5 years ago to be standing here today. I've always said that I was never going to live in Kesgrave. It's far too big a place. Some of us may be called to leave certain things behind. If we are, and we're struggling with that, look to Abraham. He left everything behind to go, and he was rewarded greatly. His household grew so much that him and Lot had to separate because they didn't have enough land to sustain their herds and flocks. If we feel called to go, then that's something we should listen to very carefully. If we feel called to stay, brilliant. Follow God's calling. If we still can't do it, even after looking at Abraham, look to Jesus. Jesus had a home, a perfect home, a glorious home. And he left it and came to this earth, knowing that he was going to be hated and reviled, knowing that he would be spat upon and whipped and flogged and mocked. He is fully divine. He must in some way have known those things. And yet he still gave up his throne for a time to come amongst us, the humblest of servants, who gave his life for us. And I struggled to move from Laxfield to Kesgrave. What really matters? Secondly, we can see in Abraham's life from Hebrews that he multiplied eventually. And this alludes to the lack of faith that he did have at a time. But the author of this letter doesn't really mention it. And actually, even greater than it being Abraham that was praised, it's Sarah that was praised. Even though we all know the story of when she was told that, or overheard that she was going to have a child, that she laughed and thought it was ridiculous. And yet, our author says, in Hebrews 11, verse 11 to 12, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Abraham was promised. In Genesis chapter 12, he received a promise. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Him who dishonors you, I will curse. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Abraham was going to be the father of a great nation. He'd been told it by God clearly. And yet he was still childless. We know that he took the situation into his own hands. We know that that had a great knock-on effect later on. Ishmael, father, was kind of the father of those that were in the land south of Israel, who would now be called sort of the Arabian lands. Many of the problems that still exist in that area are in a way a result of Isaac and Ishmael being fathers of different nations. Abraham's choices had great knock-on effects. But he is still, or at least Sarah, is still mentioned for faith in multiplying, in child having. Now, that doesn't mean that if we have faith, we will have children. That's not how it works. But they were commended eventually for waiting, for being the parents of that great nation. Sarah was old. She laughed when she first thought, when she was first heard that she would have a child. And yet, by faith, she received the ability to do God's will. Her ability to have a baby was given, in that case, by God. And it must have been difficult to be the bearer of that promise and unable to fulfill it. But this event taught Abraham and Sarah to trust in God's timing. It was a difficult test, not just in the fact that they couldn't have children in general, but the fact that they were bearing the responsibility for fathering this nation and unable to do it. Eventually, they stayed the course, and the promises that were made were fulfilled. And as we think of that account in the life of Abraham and Sarah, we can think in a way of ourselves and how much we trust in God's timing, how much we trust in God's plans for our lives. It was made clear to Abraham that he would be a father. At times he struggled with that. Eventually those promises were fulfilled. Sometimes we may struggle with God's timing in our lives. We may want more. We may want less. We may want different. We may really feel like we're being called to do something, but it's just not happening yet. We just have to trust that God's plans are bigger than ours, that God's mind is better than ours, His sense of time is different than ours. And we have to try and trust in God's timing, in whatever case that may be. Not always easy. I've tried to rush God's plans in the past. I've sought to move schools when I was teaching because I wanted to be elsewhere. I probably went in the wrong direction at one point. I can see how God used that to train me now. It's not always easy to trust in God's timing, but sometimes we just have to wait upon the Lord. Thirdly, we see that Abraham was tested, and this is arguably his greatest triumph in life. Generally, the first thing you think of with Abraham, I think, is that moment on that mountain in Moriah where he was prepared to offer up his own son, the heir of this promise, to God. We read in Genesis chapter 22, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," he said, "here I am. Take your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." We know, with the lens this side of history, that God never intended for Abraham to do it. But still, living Abraham's life, being prepared to offer up his son as a sacrifice, the son he had been so desperate for that didn't come along till he was 100 years old. What a great challenge. Hebrews 11 tells us in verse 17, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, who he had received the and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.'" Abraham was prepared to offer up everything to God, even though he knew that this child was special, would bear those promises that Abraham had been given. He was prepared to give up everything to serve and worship God. Abraham had such great faith, actually, that Hebrews tells us, we don't read this in Genesis, I don't think, tell me if I'm wrong later, but in Hebrews, verse 19, we read, "He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." Abraham amazingly fully expected, despite offering his son up as a burnt offering, to walk down the mountain with him. He was prepared to offer him as a sacrifice, believing that God would raise him, would save him from the from death, which in a way he did. But still, rather wonderful faith. And sometimes we may be called to give things up that we need, but we can trust in the Lord God who has promised to provide our needs. Abraham had great faith that he was prepared to give up everything in his service to and worship of God. And the application for us is again fairly obvious and fairly simple. As we ask ourselves the question, what are we not prepared to leave behind in order to worship God fully and trust him? Now, no one is going to be asked to sacrifice their own children. That would go against much of Scripture. But sometimes people have been called in their Christian walk to go away from their family for a time. Some of those missionaries, I think Hudson Taylor was one, where he left wife and young children behind so he could go and be a pioneer of the work in China. Eventually they did join him, but he was prepared to be separated for a time. As I look at my life and family, I would struggle to do that, I admit. I don't know that I could leave my family behind to move to China to serve the Lord. Maybe that shows a lack of my faith. But I would imagine there are smaller things that we all have that get in the way of our relationship with the Lord. There are smaller things that get in the way of our service to the Lord. Probably the most common would be our bank balance. It's so difficult to cut back work or to move jobs that we feel we may be able to serve God more because we're so used to what we have. Our lives are so governed by what's in our bank account. It may be hobbies and desires that actually we're called to do less of so that we can serve the Lord. We're called to run a race with endurance. It may even be that there are sinful natures in our life that we struggle to leave behind because we want to cling to them. We're called to throw off everything, every sin that clings to us, so that we can run with greater endurance the race that is set before us. If we're struggling today to lay anything at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, look to Abraham. Look to the way he was prepared to give up his only son in honor of God, believing that he would receive him back, yes, but he was prepared to do it. And then look to Jesus, who gave up everything for us. I said it before, why does it matter that I don't go for bike rides on a Sunday morning when I would humanly love to? Why does it matter when the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for me? If you think in that point or the ones before, I haven't presented Christianity in a wonderful light, I haven't filled you with joy this morning, wait for the next one. Finally, Abraham was commended for looking forward, looking ahead. Let's read verse 10 of Hebrews 11. He was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham didn't care where he lived. He had to live in tents for a few years. To some, that would be torturous. To some, that would be enjoyment, I'm sure. He didn't care where he had to live or who he had to live with because he was looking forward to something that was ahead. He was prepared to lay everything aside so that he could follow God's plans because he was looking to a city that had foundations and whose designer and builder is God. Does that speak to us today? Because I sure hope it does. We are looking ahead. This world is not our home. It's why sometimes it doesn't feel like we fit. We can be prepared to lay everything at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can give up anything in our pursuit of worshiping God because we are going to receive so much more in the future. We are going to a place where gold is so abundant that they line the streets with it. We are going to a place where God's glory, where God himself will always be. If we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, this earth is not our home. This earth is not all there is. We have a city, an eternal, unchanging, unblemishable, undefilable, unfading home to go to. So why do we need to worry about anything else? We're looking forward to heaven, much like Abraham was. We can read ahead in Hebrews 11 as well, verse 13. And this is talking about many of these fathers of the faith, fathers of Israel. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles, not in Canaan, but on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. As it is, they desire a better country. Not Canaan, not this land where the grapes were massive. They were desiring a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Abraham was looking ahead. All of these were looking ahead, not to what might come next week on this earth, not to the better car that they're looking forward to getting, not to anything, but to heaven, the eternal city that has been prepared for them. And today we can rest in full assurance that if we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, we have a place in that city. Therefore, we can be prepared to leave everything else at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're struggling with that, if it's difficult, as it will be, look to Abraham, who was prepared to follow God fully. Yes, he messed up. Yes, he slipped up. Yes, he made mistakes. And maybe that inspires us all the more, because when we make mistakes, we know that we can return to Christ. If we make mistakes, we can return to that throne of grace confidently. As I was preparing this sermon, I generally have something on in the background, and I was watching a documentary called Lost Lanes of Britain. It sounds very exciting, I'm sure. But it's of a man who was cycling slowly around various places in this country, and he stops regularly to look at wonderful things. And as I was watching, I thought, what a wonderful place we live in. They were cycling through Wales down the River Usk, I think it was, and some of the views were just gorgeous, just magnificent. And it makes me want to cling on to the things of this world. And quite honestly, I thought, I really want to go there and follow their route. I'm not going to care about the River Usk and the 10 bridges that follow it. I'm not going to care about anything other than the fact that I will be able to wholeheartedly worship my God for all eternity. So as we struggle to follow God's timing, as we struggle with his plans, as we struggle to leave things behind, look to Abraham, look to God, and look to heaven, our home, the place where our treasure should be. And with that, we finish.